Well, it's quite alarming. It's an alarm. It's quite alarming. This is the news, according to me. Well, good morning. It is Monday, August 29th. August is coming to a close. As with it goes the summer. Got a couple more summer adventures yet, but it's turning into fall here really quickly. So, it is 7:51 a.m. on Eastern Standard Time, and I am in the Eastern Standard Time zone, which is where I prefer to be. I'm at my home office this morning, and so far everything's working okay. The cat came in and apparently had an adventure while I was gone in my sound booth here. Which is something I still need to fix that. I still need to get my other sound booth in here. It's still sitting outside. It's sitting under cover, but it's under a patio thing. It needs to be rolled in somehow. Could be dangerous. Could be the end of me. Who knows? If the thing falls on me, I'm pretty sure I'm going to come a goner. I have in my cup, I have a couple of things I want to talk about this morning. First of all, thanks for listening this morning. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for clicking on my loyal listeners. I know that there's a few of you out there who are regular listeners, and I appreciate that. Those of you who are not loyal listeners, you're soon to become one. I'm pretty sure, because you just can't stay away. You can't stop me. You can't end me. What is that? You can't quit me. I don't know what it is. Fool me once, shame on you. But you can't be fooled again. Whatever he said that. Ironically, the guy who tried to say that, George Bush, he's a lot of things going on right now. First of all, there's something in my cup. I want to tell you what it is. It's a little bit of my family recipe chai, and I had just a little bit left, so I mixed that with some Pacific Island chai, and it's vanilla chai, and it's got Cinnabon creamer in there. And yes, I am officially in a rut now with the chai thing. I don't even have a backup cup this morning. Usually I have at least a cup of water or something, typically, I'll have, but I don't have anything. All I got is the chai. So when the chai runs out, the show's over. I have a couple things I want to talk about. One is rather disturbing and quite alarming. And I was more taken back by the response of the person doing the report than I was the actual report itself, because the numbers I had heard before. But to hear this guy talk about it in the way he was obviously concerned, which is unlike him, and he ended his video cast in his little blog thing he does, he ended it quite abruptly. It's quite disturbing. The other side of it is the whole Mar-a-Lago thing. What's going on with that and the FBI and the January 6th and all the stuff that's happening right now. Then there's the student loan thing, of course, and the things that are being said about it and what they're justification for all this stuff is absolutely insane. We're going to talk about that a little bit. I might start with that. But the FBI has, again, of course, there's the whole Gretchen Whitmer thing. There's a lot of things toying around in my brain. So hopefully I'll get to all this stuff this morning without wasting too much time. I don't like to go too long typically, but I like to go a long time, but I mean, as far as like, I just like to talk forever. Just talk about drivel. Yesterday, I was telling a story to my wife, and we were just walking along. No place to go. We were just walking. And the story was apparently taking too long because she was like, get on with it. It's like, what? You got some place to go? You got something to do? What is going on here? I was getting a little bit long-winded about a particular thing. I'm kind of getting off on a sidetrack. Believe it or not, me doing a side. It's hard to believe, I know, that I would get sidetracked with anything. But I think she had enough of it. Yeah. So we had earlier in the trip, she told me I wasn't very sexy. So I had a buckhorn hanging out of my mouth because I was trying to explain to her earlier in the day what a buckhorn was, and she didn't know. So I found one in the yard, and that's what the hillbillies chew on. So I put that thing in my mouth. As far as I know, it probably was one the dog peed on. I have no idea, but probably was. But I ended up. I digress. The Gretchen Whitmer thing. So four people went to trial, the way I understand this. Two people at a time, I guess, or however they did this. Two of them were found to be not guilty because they were entrapped. The other two were as well. However, the first trial ended in a hung trial, hung jury, whatever it was. So they had a retrial. I don't really understand all the stuff about that because I'm not a doctor or a lawyer or a financial counselor. I'm not a historian. I'm not a life coach or a... I have been a soccer coach once. I was also a AAU Taekwondo coach. But I digress. I go back. The point is that this whole Gretchen Whitmer thing was all it was all drummed up by the FBI. Surprise, surprise. Once again, we find a nefarious activity going on by the FBI. The interstate. I'm going to call it the deep state, whatever you want to call it. It's the bureaucrats that run the show behind it's the elites who are now in charge of the FBI. Well, we have this this interesting issue here where right before the election that this kidnapping plot comes out. These guys were going to do all this stuff, all this stuff that were ideas that were put in their head by the FBI. When you get deep into the weeds in this stuff, you find that the informants that the FBI was paying off, the people who were actually inserted into this process. Well, and here's a really good example. I had said something about Gretchen Whitmer and how, you know, this is after the whole plot thing. And I'd said something about, this is long after this had happened. And I mentioned something in a comment on a YouTube video about how her policies and the way she stepped in with her AG and state AG, and they just basically just took over the state, including the voting rights and voting stuff. Stepped in and usurped powers that weren't theirs. Oh, because this is national emergency. This is an emergency. We have to do this. It's a pandemic. It's a pandemic. I have to do this. We have to do this, right? And in the process of this, I made a comment about how illegal the actions were that she was taking and how disruptive it was how it went against people's rights and how you just can't do this. And this person commented and said, they tried to kidnap her. There's something about that garners some kind of sympathy from people. And because you don't want to align with the people who tried to kidnap her, now anybody who's critical of her suddenly is aligned with the kidnappers. And that's why people will run from that and go the other direction. This is a very typical thing that happens in this nation. Same thing with gun rights. All it takes is a mass shooting, and now all of a sudden nobody wants to associate with anybody who loves guns. Not necessarily loves guns, but I don't love my gun. I love what it stands for. When someone holds up when Charlton Heston held up the gun and said, from my cold dead hands, he understood this represents liberty. Unfortunately, it doesn't so much anymore. It doesn't represent hunting. It doesn't represent target shooting, sports shooting. It's part of it. But it's actually not the largest part of it. And those who don't understand our Constitution and our rights and our individual freedoms and the protection thereof, they do not understand the Second Amendment at all. And there's a lot of that out there right now because colleges, those elite places where they charge you buku bucks to go and toy with your brain, they don't teach anything about that anymore. That was for muskets, and that was just for people in the official militia, but the government militia. So the government's the only ones should have guns. Because, you know, we can trust the government. These same people. Oh, we'll get into that. So that's the Gretchen Whitmer thing. So now apparently there's more going on there. That's in the news again because these two guys just got convicted, I guess. Second time through, they got convicted. I don't know who they had for lawyers. It wasn't the same lawyer as the other two guys got, but of course they had a different jury as well. But it blows my mind that, you know, here we are again. If all of them would have gotten off, it would have been a really big deal. So you have to wonder if the FBI got involved in that too. It doesn't look good either way. It doesn't look good for the FBI in this case to have even two of them acquitted because of entrapment. Now, that being said, that's just another thing on the FBI's poo-poo list. We have this whole Mar-a-Lago thing. And now it is looking more and more. The affidavit came out, and of course they're all, oh, look, this looks really bad. Oh, this looks really bad. Apparently there's, you know, MSNBC was all over it. They've been very quiet about it, actually, now. The last couple of days they haven't said much about it at all. It's kind of a nothing burger. Right away, they were, oh, this really incriminates the president. This really incriminates the president. Oh, there's all kinds of incriminating things here in the president for the president. Okay, what are those things? Well, there's a lot of incriminating things there. You know, you keep hearing them say, just like this one Harris, was it George Harris? What was the guy's name? Not George Harris. What was the guy's name? He came out and was talking about how, you know, Hunter Biden could have had the corpses of children in his basement. And that wouldn't have concerned him as much. They were minuscule, and we could go down that rabbit hole and say that Joe Biden had all these, was taking kickbacks from China and doing all this stuff and all the stuff that actually did happen. But that would be minuscule in comparison to the atrocities that this president has done. Oh, okay. Can you name some of those? No, he just moves on in the conversation. This is the way they do it. They drop a bomb like that. Well, that's nothing. That's nothing compared to what. Okay, well, it might be, even if that was true, if it was nothing compared to what Donald Trump has done, it's still something. If all that was true, what Joe Biden, then he shouldn't be president either. This is the tit for tat we get into when we talk about Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. Well, Hillary Clinton had all these stuff on her servers and she didn't get, the FBI didn't do anything to her. It just sounds like a whining child when you start doing that. Now, yes, Hillary Clinton she violated all kinds of laws and James Comey admitted to it. Oh, but no reasonable prosecutor would bring a case. He was trying to, it's a cause and deflect type thing. He brings, this is a guy who teaches ethics and thinks he can dance his way around the ethical parade, the show, the theater, and bring himself, what he does is we've reopened the investigation. Now we're going to close the investigation. He did it on purpose. Because he was trying to clear her, is what he was trying to do. Now, Hillary blamed Comey for, oh, he brought that up, and then that's why she lost. No, that's not why she lost. But he was actually trying to get that out of the way for her. He was trying to do her a favor by doing what he did and trying to make it look like the FBI was, you know, squeaky clean in the process. Here's the problem with all this. When you have Merrick Garland standing up there going, well, that's, The DOJ speaks through its court rulings and filings and in the work that it does. He has the same thing. He says the same thing that Christopher Wray says. Well, the FBI speaks through its court filings and work that we do. Really? Is that what James Comey did? Comey got up there and told us all kinds of details about the investigation. He wasn't speaking through court filings. But it was politically expedient for him and for Hillary to do what he was doing. He knew what he was doing. It was all a show for the camera. To make it look like, oh, trust us, folks. We've looked into all this, and that's the way it is. And then then the FBI goes to Facebook, to Zuckerberg. Just, you know, where there's a dump out there that's about to happen. Stuff from Russia. It's Russia. It's believed to be Russia influence. It's Russia, Russia, Russia. You know how they influenced the last election. Can't have them influence this election. Because obviously they wanted Donald Trump to be president so that they could then invade Ukraine. Now they have to invade Ukraine because Donald Trump isn't president. So they have to do that now because they feel pressured. Because Biden's scaring them so much with his mumbling and jumbling. Whatever. Okay, so they get this Zuckerberg to change the algorithm. Now, somehow Zuckerberg also knew that Twitter completely banned things that were about Hunter Biden's laptop. Now, what blows my mind is this Hunter Biden's laptop or not? Are these pictures of him doing things and all this all these emails, or are they all just made up? They're just Russian propaganda. They just had a really good Photoshop guy that was able to put his head on top of a There's video pictures, all this stuff of Hunter doing illegal things. Should be in prison for. Not even. He's under investigation. So they put him under investigation. Well, now we have him under investigation. Now, they had this laptop. The FBI had this laptop a year before the election and didn't do anything with it. They were completely silent. I don't even think they opened an investigation on it. Of course, they quietly opened an investigation. James Comey didn't stand up and, oh, Christopher Radin come on. Oh, we are opening an investigation in Hunter Biden. No, nobody said anything about it. But then when they were asked about it, all they had to say was, well, we don't comment on any ongoing investigations. This is the way they protect people. This is common SOP for them. Now to the real story. I could harp on the FBI and everything that they're doing for a long time. The whole thing that's going on with the Trump case of the, they're into it and they know it. They've got people inside of Mar-a-Lago who are supposedly, now who knows? There could be somebody inside Mar-a-Lago who's feeding them disinformation, playing the games back to them that they were playing, that they always play. There's some really interesting interviews of people who've been involved in the CIA and how they talk about disinformation and psyops and as well as covert operations, those kinds of things. It is really, really telling in how we've operated in other countries to disrupt their political system. And right now, you can't tell much difference between the FBI and the CIA. So I'm just going to say it that way. In terms of the upper echelon, the elites on the seventh floor, they say. So, as this whole thing goes through, as you start to see the affidavit and more about it, and people start to, legal minds start to look at it more, you're seeing some people backing out and saying, oh, I don't know, I think there's something here. This looks really bad for them. Of course, Brett Baer, he's lost all credibility when it comes to talking about Trump. I won't even listen. I saw him on the news over the weekend when this whole thing came out. It was last Friday, actually. This whole thing came out when they dropped the affidavit out with, it's mostly a whole lot of, it's like 65% redacted. Of course, they included some names of people that were on the Trump side so that, you know, because they didn't care about protecting them at all. But they're really concerned about protecting the insiders because, you know, Trump's going to kill them if they don't. He's going to go after him. He's going to kill him. He wants to know who they are because he's going to get them. Because you know how he is. He eats babies in his basement. Oh, no, that's Hunter. But that's, no, wait, no, I can't remember what the corpses in the basement thing was. I can't remember if that was right, true or not. I mean, it's weird that he said that. And then also included things that we know are true. Talking about Sam Harris. Anyway, so that whole thing is going on. And they now their legal minds are looking at this and saying, this was a general warrant. They weren't looking for anything in particular. And this whole thing about classified documents is, so what? It's kind of a nothing burger here. There are still things. How long has it been since Obama was in office? He walked off with a whole bunch of documents, many of which have disappeared. That NARA, the National Archives, whatever, have asked for, and they're not there. They don't exist now anymore. They always say, oh, I don't know what happened to those. And there was way more than what Trump took. And they're still negotiating with NARA over whether or not they're going to get those some of those things back. How many years has it been? It hasn't even been 2 years for Trump, and all of a sudden, oh, he's got classified information in there. Well, a lot of things that the president did were classified, Mark Levin, just listen to Mark Levin's take on this on Sunday night. Go to YouTube and just look at Mark Levin. Watch Mark Levin. It's like a 10-minute video. Talks about the whole process and how all this happened. He's a brilliant legal mind. He's a guy who understands the legal thing. I think he might actually be a lawyer. I don't think he's practicing, but he actually got a law degree. And he explains it very clearly, the unconstitutional, the way they did this, the whole thing was designed to be an optic, the optics of armed police officers, armed FBI, raiding the president's home. Well, we weren't going to say anything. The president was the one who said it. No, they weren't expecting the president to know about it right that quickly because he was gone. In fact, I believe they started doing it at a time when he was supposed to be in a meeting somewhere. Mark Levin brings up a lot of good questions in this whole process, and he's got it nailed. These guys are crooks. These guys are operatives for the DNC, or the establishment, because they don't care. Really, which side? They do have a side, but if they just assume that the Uniparty get it, you can't have some kind of outsider here. He's not part of the establishment. And I guarantee you, it doesn't matter whether it's Trump or DeSantis or Cruz or anybody else who becomes the nominee for 2024. That person is going to be the devil. They're going to be Hitler. They're going to be a Nazi. They're going to be a misogynist. Racist, whatever you want to call it, doesn't matter what they or if it's a African American, it's going to be an Uncle Tom. They won't care who it is. Right now, they don't want it to be Trump, so they're going to say, "Oh no, anybody but Trump. Anybody? Oh, you guys, oh yeah, okay, put anybody. If it's Pence, look at the attitude. I played this back on a regional previous show where you had Pete Buttigieg. Talk about how, well, if Trump were to leave office and Pence would step in, would you feel better about that? Oh, no, no, please. You're giving me a choice between two terrible people. And he starts attacking Pence's religious beliefs, saying how he reads the Bible, and I read the Bible, and I see this, and I don't see what, you know. Well, apparently you only read certain parts of the Bible. You don't believe in the rest of it. Because roads are racist. Everybody just needs an electric car. Here, by the way, electric cars. You know, this whole thing with California now. The California's got this new law. I think by 2035, every vehicle has to be electric. They have to, new vehicles that they sell. Now, this is, of course, the right is going all over this thing as if, well, every vehicle in the state has to be, no, just every new vehicle sold in 2035 has to be, I think it's 2035 or 2030, whatever it is. Has to be electric. This isn't going to work, folks. Now, but this is how they play this. Even if this whole thing goes through and they keep this legislation intact, and it goes through. And again, we get to 2035, and all of a sudden now think about the new car dealers out there who are trying to sell electric vehicles or hydrogen vehicles. California buys 10% of the car market in our country. Huge market out there. New cars, 10% of new vehicles sold are in California, in our nation. Now, here's how they do this. This is the government stepping in, making an impossible hurdle that you and I, the average person, has to deal with. But there are other people who will get exemptions to this. This is how they play it. They give you an impossible, this is just exactly like they do with the Second Amendment. Well, we're not going to take away your right to carry, but you can have that right. You just have to pay for a permit. You have to get a permit from the state, and then you can exercise your right. Well, so you're taking my right away from me, and then selling it back to me in the form of a permit. No, we're not taking the right away from you. We're just saying you have to have this permit to exercise that right. It's reasonable. Well, it's still an infringement. I don't care if it's a reasonable, tiny, itty-bitty infringement. Any infringement shall not be infringed means in any way, shape, or form. Too bad for you. And yet they take it away without due process as a general legislative event. Because they can do that with group rights like that. So now we have... Well, anyway, to quote Joe in one of his famous quotes. Well, anyway, let's move on to COVID, because this is quite alarming. I was actually I'll try to explain my emotional disturbance here in a little bit. Hopefully I can get through this without being emotional, because there's something about this from the very beginning that has disturbed me on a very deep level. I cannot wrap my brain around it, and I can't articulate how I feel. But I was listening to Dr. John Campbell, who has been a stiff upper lip, even keeled, just the facts guy on YouTube. Now, I believe, let me look him up again real quick here. He became very popular very quickly on YouTube, and there was a huge number of followers. People started talking about him. In fact, I think he might have even been interviewed by Joe Rogan at one point, possibly. Dr. John, yeah. You just type in Dr. John, and you're going to get Dr. John Campbell at the top of the search list. He has 2.4 million subscribers. Most of his videos get 500,000 views within minutes. Most recent one, excess, he talks about excess deaths and the data. He goes through this data, and it's very disturbing. And you can tell he's very disturbed about it, and he's very concerned about the fact that government entities and agencies are not being very forthright with information. And it's very disturbing to me, too. Now, I have heard for quite some time, I have heard reports about what is now being called sudden adult death syndrome. You've heard of sudden infant death syndrome. There is now something referred to as sudden adult death syndrome. SADS. People from age 24 to 49. They go through the death rate. Now, during the COVID times, he was showing the death rate, how it... He was going over a five-year average. So this is 3 years prior to COVID. COVID, as he calls it. And he goes through this whole thing and shows a graph, and he shows the numbers and how, you know, of course, during COVID, the 5-year average is here, and it goes over each season and how it kind of, you know, the seasons kind of go up and down. And it kind of follows the same path every year, kind of going through the seasons, and the death rate between 24 and 49. Well, and recently, the non-COVID death rate for 24 to 49 is going up. It's alarmingly high, almost COVID levels. But they're not dying from COVID. And that's all the data says. It doesn't say what they're dying from. It just says non-COVID related. You would have to really do your own research and dig into all this to find out why. Well, of course, my question, and I posed this question in the comments. I haven't heard any back. He may not have a chance to, you know, respond to every comment because he probably gets, you know, a million of them. Will we ever get data that says whether or not this rate of increase is among vaccinated individuals, or is it among unvaccinated individuals? Is it among people who have had a particular strain of COVID, as he calls it, COVID, or both, you know, a couple times, or what? Have they had COVID once or twice, or have they, you know, have they been asymptomatic? Had they had the shot and gotten COVID? Did they have the booster? Did they have 4 boosters? We don't know any of this stuff. That's the data we need. We need to have the facts on that. And you can tell in his voice, he doesn't say it. He's very disturbed by this whole thing. And he's even more disturbed that the government entities involved are not coming out with really any real data on this thing. In fact, they're not even talking about this. Beto O'Rourke was just taken off the campaign trail, putting his campaign on for governor in Texas because he wants to lose another race. He's taking his campaign off, you know, putting it on pause because he has a bacterial infection. There's some interesting things here. The undercurrent from and the reaction, the backlash from the whole COVID and the vaccines and all the stuff that's happening is going to be really interesting in the next 4 years, 3 years, 2 years, whatever. One, Trump is still in support of the vaccines. Most people don't realize that. And among those who support him, they're booing him when he says things like that. He says, "We have your freedom, you don't have a mandate." But he goes, "But I got the shot, and, you know, so I think everybody should get the shot." And they booed him on that at a conference. So I understand, but because, you know, you still have your freedom, so you can do what you want. I'm just telling you what I think. I know some people who didn't get the shot, passed away, and their family blamed Trump. Now, when the problems start arising, if there are problems with this vaccine and it causes health problems, because I'll get into that in a little bit. If there are problems, they're going to blame them on Trump. Well, that's because Trump pushed it too fast. They're going to ignore the fact that for 2 years, especially the first year of the Biden administration, all we heard was, this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. You got to get vaccinated. Look at me, I'm getting vaccinated. Look at me, I got my 4th booster shot. If you don't get vaccinated, you can't be in the military. Now, The military is a very good, it's like a petri dish, and it's been a very interesting study because they have very good records of what's going on there. There's an alarming number of military individuals, of course, who've been vaccinated because they were forced to be, many of them, who are now experiencing unusually high rates of immune issues. This brings me back to John Campbell. The disturbing issue, and I think that Dr. John he's realizing it. He's not verbalizing it yet. And I think he has this underlying sense of responsibility that most of our government bureaucrats don't have. That if for years they've been pushing this and advocating for the vaccine, if it turns out that this thing is harming people in ways that we had no idea, and the problems or the associated issues now that are coming about are starting to outweigh the benefits of the vaccine. Those who were promoting it and pushing it bear a large brunt of responsibility for it. Or at least they, if they have any conscience at all, they will feel that way. And I wouldn't blame John Campbell. I think people are acting on the best knowledge they had at the time. It's not their fault, but they will feel a certain amount of guilt for this. And I think that's where the wrestling comes in. It's like, well, we really need information. We need some data here. What's going on here? It's disturbing if the unvaxxed who got COVID are the ones who are dying here and having the problems, then that's disturbing in and of itself as well. That means we didn't do enough. We didn't educate people well enough, whatever the reason is. And you know what? If that's the case, I don't care. I don't care. For myself, I don't care for myself. I made my choices. I will live and die with those. Period. I can say, well, okay, I made a mistake. I probably should have gotten it. I have to suffer the consequences of that now. But I certainly still would not want to put that on anybody else. I would still fight against a mandate. Because at the time, we were acting on the best information we had. Pushing it and making it sound like somebody else has to do this, if a mask gives you so much protection, then why are you yelling at other people with your mask off about putting a mask on? This happened multiple times. People would yell at other people about not wearing their mask, and they weren't wearing their mask while they were yelling at people. If you just sit down and shut up, you wouldn't be spreading germs around. So, what's disturbing, and this is where I'm trying to tread into this lightly, wade into it slowly, because I really want to articulate this properly. If it turns out that the vaccine is causing a collapse within the health of our society, I'm sure some people are going to be more susceptible than others. If people start to die at an unnatural rates, unnormal rates, abnormal, I guess is the word, abnormal rates. I'm not an English teacher either. And it's just, it's very disturbing, folks, because I've had this really bad sinking feeling and just the way it's been put upon us to not be able to say anything negative about the vaccines. If you think about the campaign that happened during this whole thing of, if you came out with anything negative to say on social media, it was, talk about fascism. These are the people who want to be in charge. These are the people who, support people on the left, the leftists, the radicals, the social mentality, the collectivists. You're not allowed to talk about this. You're not allowed to have an opinion because it's misinformation. It's disinformation. We have to filter through all this in the Department of Truth. So they filter through all this. And then all of a sudden something, YouTube recently changed its policies. But you couldn't say 6 months ago or get banned. Now you can say. And all of a sudden, if you say what you said could say 6 months ago, now all of a sudden you can't say it. This is where we get into this dangerous area of who decides what is truth, because we can't have any discourse. We can't have a discussion about it, of course, because we're going to tell you what's real and what's not, because we're getting it from a higher authority. We're getting it from the government officials who are trying to get votes or trying to further their careers, because they're non-biased, of course. We could have people dropping like flies all over this country right now because of the virus, because of the vaccine. And the government will deny it. They will not post it. You will not get any information about it. Because the same people who were in charge of that information back then are in charge of it now, and they know they cannot be wrong. They cannot be exposed. They will cover up everything. Which gets back to the show called Redacted. There's a YouTube channel called Redacted. I have a bunch of followers. Let me see how large their thing is. Redacted. Yeah, let's put that up there. Let's do this. No, not that. Redacted. We'll see if it even comes up as a... There it is. Redacted. They have almost 1 million subscribers. I don't know how long they've been around. I'm not sure how long they've been actually... channel about. Let's see when they started. Joined in June 12th, 2015. So he's had the channel that long. Him and his wife do this. Now, he was on Fox, I think, for a little while. He was also on MSNBC or CNN, this guy that does this. I can't think of their names. Clayton Morris, Fox News anchor. He's also on another channel now. He is liberal. He considers himself a progressive. However, he's also interested in the truth. Now, so politically, he is left-leaning in terms of his, I would call him probably more of a traditional Democrat, which is a dinosaur. Most people who go down this road end up finding themselves becoming more conservative, anti-government individuals. And you can't stay that way. can't be that and remain a big government Democrat. Now, he'll tell the truth on either side, regardless of what the deal is. But like lately, he's been really going on after the leftists and the stuff that the government's been doing. He attacks the government pretty good in terms of the FBI and health organizations and that kind of thing. I think they've actually been, they had one of their videos banned. Now, here's the issue, though. This is what bothers me about this, is that he says a lot of stuff about the FBI, about the CIA, about, he's kind of the Alex Jones, the nice Alex Jones. And he doesn't get shadow banned, doesn't get banned. As far as I know, he doesn't get shadow banned. And so you have to kind of wonder if he's maybe a CIA operative. I mean, you have to wonder, I just have to ask the question, how is it he gets away with all this when I say something? I can't be on YouTube and say the stuff he says. I get zero hits, zero views. If I would say the stuff he's saying, I would have no subscribers. So explain to me how that happens. Now, maybe when you reach a certain point and you have a certain number of viewers, they have a harder time doing it to you because it becomes more obvious. I don't know. When you're a nobody, they can easily do it to you and you don't have a platform. Once you get that platform, it's hard for them to take it away. However they do it. In fact, Black Conservative Patriot, BCP, let's see if I can just type in BCP and see what I get. Yeah, BCP report. He has 160,000 subscribers. He'll do a live stream and he'll get more views than the president gets. There's a live stream. So, interestingly enough, there's some interesting stuff here, and what I was getting at with the whole redacted thing is that he's coming up with information about the vaccines and the FBI raid, all those kinds of things that are happening. They won't come out and say they support Trump, but they. And that's the reason I listen to them is because they typically will have quite a bit of things that are, they actually go after both sides and they tell the truth on particular issues and a pretty balanced view of certain things. However, I would disagree with them on, and here's the thing, that if we could have this discussion, I've said this even like with Jimmy Dore and some other people. I don't mind if someone has a differing opinion. Look, I just don't want the government to provide everything for us. I want you to be able to provide for yourself. I think the Republican Party, the establishment, has not done a very good job of communicating this. They just want to win by default and be a part of the money stream. A true conservative is one who wants to empower you to be able to take care of yourself, to be able to afford your health care, not to just have health care taken care of for you and then you can go out and buy your Xbox and go on your vacations. I need to go out and do all this stuff. Somebody else can take care of the details. I want to live like a king. I want to live like a rich person, spend all my money, not save anything on future me, and just go out and, buy what's in the moment. If I get diabetes, if I get it, something else, that's somebody else's fault. That's somebody else's problem. Government's got to pay for that. Government is the people. The rest of the people have to pay for that. This whole government forgiveness thing of the loans. Now, as I said, when this first happened, it was $300 billion. I said it's going to be over $500 million by the time this is all actuaried out. Sure enough, the nonpartisan actuaries that are looking at it are saying it's going to be over $500 billion. $500 trillion spent on this thing. Obamacare, I think, was $600 billion. Everybody threw a fit. This just throws up, and tell me this is not to try to get, they're trying to use abortion and student loan rights and student loan forgiveness. Oh, see, we fulfilled our promise. And now they're trying to compare it to the PPP loans. Well, government, you know, came in and bailed out all these businesses. And this is what, when Biden turned around, he was asked the question, he turned around, he was mumbling something about, well, these multi-million dollar companies were getting bailouts, so, you know, he didn't have a problem with that. He was trying to make that statement, and it turned out to be, you know, bumble. I'm pretty sure that's the statement he was trying to make. He was trying to relate the PPP loans, the bailouts that happened because of COVID. The government came in and shut these businesses down, told them they couldn't operate, ruined most of them, and that's why the government was responsible. If the people, which we weren't, that's not really necessarily what the people decided, but the government, the people we elected, our representatives who were supposed to represent our individual rights, they came in and decided that we're going to shut the nation down. So they came in and shut the country down, shut the business, certain unessential businesses. I gotta tell you, my business is essential to me. And they shut all this stuff down, shut down the travel industry, and they came back out with all this money to bail people out, to help people, you know, get through this whole process. Well, that doesn't necessarily compare to student loans. Putting a pause on payments, that's fine. But all of a sudden now you're going to pay off people's loans? Or at least give them a huge boost in there somehow? Going to pay off part of their loans? How does that work? It's a very, very different animal they're trying to compare the two, and it's not comparable at all. I get the pause in making payments. I understand that part of it. But if you're doubling up, or if you're, you know, adding to their unemployment checks, and you're dishing out money to businesses, shouldn't the money still be flowing to be able to pay those loans off? Making more money on unemployment than you were working, and all of a sudden you can't afford to pay your loan payment because you're out taking vacations and living on the dole, government money. Just a whole lot of issues here, folks, and what it boils down to is we have a nation that has lost its moral pinnings. And this idea that I just need to be productive enough to take care of myself is lost somehow. The American dream is now the American wish list. American dream used to be having a job, being able to afford the things that I purchase, having a house, having a home, being able to take care of my family, provide for a family, living in peace, worshiping where I choose to worship, having a job, feeding my family. That was the American dream. Building wealth, retiring comfortably, taking care of your kids, seeing them do better than you did. Not because they got government handouts, because they were able to build on what you had started. Those days are gone. By and large, in this country, at least in the larger population areas, that doesn't happen anymore. And that is a moral fabric issue in our nation. We don't hear it from the pulpits. We don't hear it from our government leaders. We don't hear it in our school systems, the educational institutions. Nothing about personal, individual responsibility for yourself. Gee, what a great note to end on a Monday morning. This much I do know. Let me end this on a good note. With God, all things are possible. Our nation is not done for. At some point, there will be a revival. And by revival, I don't mean just a weekend emotional drumming up of feeling better about our religion. I'm talking about a nation being brought back to a relationship with God. Being true to the principles that He has given us. Caring about our neighbors. Self-sacrifice and service to each other. This is what we need. And this is definitely within God's ability to do so. So we pray for that. And we look forward to it. Because I know He's willing. So we move on from there. I've been talking a long time. I've dumped a lot of things out that I had built up over the weekend. We've got a big week ahead of us. My wife and I are going to be taking a boat ride here over the weekend. And enjoying some time with family in Chicago. So it's going to be a big weekend. In the meantime, I've got a lot of chores to do this week, next 4 days. But there will be a show every morning and probably even Friday morning. Yeah, most likely Friday morning. But not over the weekend, because I'm going to be busy, so that's not going to happen. Folks, thanks for listening. Thanks for putting up with my rants, my dumping of my stuff, my concerns. God bless, and I look forward to talking to you again tomorrow morning. Talking at you, I guess it is, because you're not talking with me. I'm just talking. I've got to find a way to make live comments happen with this thing. We're coming to that point. It's getting there. It's going to happen at some point. I'm pretty sure. I think. Maybe. I don't know. We can put a man on the moon again, maybe. We'll see how that goes. Bartimaeus is blasting off here a little bit. That'll be interesting to watch. God bless, folks. Have a great day.